More time passed, and Logo began to panic. He needed to set off to look for Zoggy, but was doubtful about taking Nana. It would be best to go with some of the boys from school, even though he wasn't sure about how to approach them. One thing was certain, he didn't want to go alone. Logo asked his friends from school for a quick word and took them to a quieter corner. "What's this about?" asked Ferrado. "You look serious." Logo darted his eyes about before giving them a summary of Zoggy's disappearance, adding, "I want you to help me find him. We must go and return before the king's arrival."
"But no one goes to Hago," proclaimed Zadua.
"It won't be safe," added Pongo.
Logo had no answers.
"I'll come with you if you're sure it's the only way," said Ferrado after some thought.
"I'll go too," added Zadua. "Zoggy would do it for us."
Of the three, Pongo seemed most reluctant. He finally spoke up and said,
"I don't want to get in trouble, but if you think it's the only way, then I'll join you."
"Don't go telling anyone what I've told you. We must keep it a secret," Logo instructed.
At that point, Nana sneaked up behind them, asking, "Is it time to go?"
"Nana, get Twinkle," Logo said.
He then turned to the boys, saying, "Get some lanterns and meet me at the entrance of the square." The boys all disappeared to look for some lanterns, as well as other supplies they thought they might need. Nana frantically searched for Twinkle, realizing that they were running out of time. The king's arrival was imminent, and they only had a few hours left. Twinkle heard Nana calling and ran towards her, panting and wagging his tail. Nana sighed, stroking the dog as they returned to join Logo and the others. Everyone was ready. Logo, Zadua, Pongo, Ferrado, and Twinkle set out and walked discreetly towards the entrance of the Harlem Square. Nana followed them.
"You've got to go back. I can't take you with us," said Logo.
"You can't stop me," snapped Nana. "He's my brother," she added.
Logo didn't want the argument to slow them down, so he allowed Nana to follow them. Led by Logo, the group walked out of Shakula and speedily headed towards Kampa. Nana struggled to keep up with the boys. She was younger and much slower.
"There's still time to turn back,"
Logo warned her. Nana ignored him. She was determined to help her brother. They soon arrived at the intersection in Kampa. As Logo led them into the Hago forest, Pongo said to the group,
"I have a bad feeling about this. My mother and father say Hago is a cursed land."
"You'll be fine," snapped Logo hastily.
"I don't think so. I don't want to get into any trouble," he continued. I have to go back. I'm sorry."
"You chicken! Go back if you want. No one forced you to come," snapped Logo angrily.
He couldn't believe that Pongo was abandoning Zoggy. Turning around, Pongo headed to Harlem Square, running as fast as he could. Logo and the others headed towards the path leading to the forest. It was a gloomy sight. Everything around them looked dark. Nana looked at the trees which stood like giants ready to pounce on them, and soon became afraid. Wild animals scurried through the bushes, and bats were howling and flapping about very close to where they were. The moving shadows scared Nana the most. Fear soon took its hold, and she started crying,
"Zoggy! Zoggy! Zoggy! Are you there?"
Nana shouted, hoping he would appear so they could return to the square, but all she heard was the echo of her own voice, followed by a chilling silence. Logo wasn't sure which path led to the gate. He wasn't even certain if he had been heading in the right direction. Flashing a lantern around the entrance of each path, he continued, looking at as many of the paths as possible. Telling the others that they could be lost was not an option, so Logo continued, hoping to find the right path soon. All of a sudden, Twinkle started barking loudly, refusing to move. Logo inspected the area and found his bag, which had been lost on their first trip to the forest. Excitement filled him as he realized they must be close to the gate.
"I'll fetch the bag," volunteered Zadua.
"We'll fetch it later. Let's find Zoggy first," said Logo.
As they were about to set off, Ferrado stumbled, eventually falling over some rocks. Screaming out in pain, he cried,
"Oh, I think my leg is broken. It really hurts."
"Calm down. Let's have a look," Logo said, kneeling down beside him.
Loga studied Ferrado's bleeding leg, feeling for any broken bones. To the best of his knowledge, he couldn't feel anything broken or out of the ordinary. "You'll be fine," Loga said. "Nothing is broken." Helping him up, Zadua placed Ferrado's arm around his shoulder and steadied him. They continued towards the gate.
"We're close to where Zoggy is," Loga reassured the others, hurrying them along the path.
A few seconds later, they felt a strong gust and saw strong, thick smoke rolling towards them, like a ball of flames. Twinkle started whimpering in fear, while the others huddled around a tall tree for shelter. Struggling against the strong wind and not wanting to be hurled to the ground, the children desperately held on to each other. Wishing he had the transparent apple to help them, Loga tried to remain strong. After a minute or two, the wind subsided. Dishevelled, the children continued with Twinkle in tow.
"I'm thirsty," Nana said. "I'm tired as well. Can we stop to rest?" she continued.
"There's no time for that. We've got to keep moving," Loga replied.
"But I'm tired," Nana squeaked.
"We need to find your brother and get back to the square before the king's arrival," shouted Loga. "Please keep moving. There is no time to waste."
Loga wisely failed to tell the others about how they had been chased by the dragon, secretly praying they wouldn't encounter the same problems. He kept a watchful eye on his surroundings. Looking up with excitement, he exclaimed,
"We've reached the gate! Let's go and get Zoggy!"
"Are you sure Zoggy is here?" asked Nana. "He must be. This was our plan."
Like miniature figurines, the children stood small in comparison to the gate, which towered over them.
"Stand back. Let me have a look first," said Loga.
The others stood back as Loga took another step towards the gate. Close enough to touch it, he was about to snatch his hand away when, to his surprise, the gate rattled open with a loud, clanging noise. The force of the gate made Loga fall over.
"What's that?"
Nana screamed as they rushed to Loga, helping him up.
"It's the Hugo Gate," whispered Zadua. "We should get out of here."
"It's too late for that," whispered a voice from the wind.
Before they could react, a forceful wind propelled them inside and shut the gate behind them. They had not taken more than two steps when another gate, that looked identical to the first, appeared before them.
"Where has that come from?" said Zadua. "It wasn't there before," Ferrado said, as he pointed at the native inscription. "It says, Danger, turn back."
"We're not leaving without Zoggy," exclaimed Loga, as he tried to open the second gate. Determined, Loga began to push the gate. He pushed until he heard a rattling noise, but the gate would not open. Stepping back, Loga took another approach and tried to squeeze through the bars, but he couldn't. He pushed once again, but his strength wasn't enough. Beckoning at the others, they all began to push the gate. They pushed with all their strength. Hearing the loud shriek and the howling of what sounded like a wild animal, they became frightened. The strong wind started to blow as if helping them to open the gate, and then it opened unexpectedly. They all fell through, landing in a human pile, one on top of the other. They got up slowly, dusting and brushing away dirt from their clothes, and found that the gate had disappeared.
"What on earth is going on?" Zadua cried. "It's the strange happenings in Hago we have all heard of. I need some sugar to calm my nerves."
Looking into his bag for something to eat, Ferrado had merely said what everyone was thinking. There was something unusual about the Hago area, and it left everyone feeling petrified. Focusing on their search for Zoggy and the fact that time was running out, Loga took a quick look around. A crooked path leading to the old mansion lay in front of them. On the left of the children was a vast grassland and a stream. The right side also had a stream that looked peaceful and unassuming. Twinkle slumped on all fours and whimpered in fear. Motivation had started to wane. The initial enthusiasm of rescue and adventure had now been replaced with fear, doubt, and panic. With no other visible buildings in sight, Loga began to walk towards the old-looking mansion, wishing that Zoggy was with him to take charge. The others promptly followed him. As they scurried along the path, Nana, who was struggling to keep up, stumbled and fell into a muddy ditch on the grassland and began to sink.
"Help! Help me!"
she screamed. It was only when the others heard a muffled noise and a shout for help that they noticed Nana was missing. Loga ran to the ditch, waving his lantern around for a clearer view. He saw that a surge of soil and some debris had fallen on Nana, partly covering her head. Placing his lantern on the floor, he climbed into the ditch, fighting the wet soil, but he couldn't drag her out. Loga quickly climbed out to avoid both of them sinking.
"Help me!"
Nana sobbed in a faint voice, thrusting her hands out from under the mud and into the air. Loga bent over into the ditch, stretching out his hands towards Nana whilst keeping his legs on the ground. Zajua and Farado grabbed his ankles to prevent him falling in.
"Grab my hand," Loga said.
"I can't reach you," said Nana. "I'm drowning."
"Try, Nana. You must try. We are running out of time," Loga encouraged her.
Nana stretched out her hand, and as she was about to touch Loga's hand, she was pulled deeper into the mud and continued to sink.
"What's the best way to get her out?" Loga asked the others. "I have an idea," said Zajua. "Take my lead."
He lay on the floor and wrapped his hands around Loga's ankles and then told Farado to hold on tightly to his ankles. Twinkle stood beside Loga, barking and panting heavily.
"Shut up, Twinkle! You're driving me crazy!" shouted Loga.
He bent into the muddy ditch and the others pulled him back. He was now long enough to reach out for Nana's hands. By this point, the mud had reached Nana's neck. She stretched out with the strength she had left and caught Loga's hand. Then the boys began to pull as hard as they could. Loga gently lifted Nana out of the muddy ditch, and as her feet touched solid ground, she hugged him tightly.
"Oh, Nana, you are getting mud all over me,"
Loga laughed, relieved that she was safe. Though he would never admit it, she was like a sister to him, and he loved her dearly. Nana didn't care about the mess. She was just happy to be alive. With muddy and wet clothes, Nana continued to walk with the others. Loga helped her along the path for a short while before leaving her to walk by herself.
"Time is running out," said Loga. "We must hurry."
They continued down the path until they came to the entrance of the old mansion. Loga hesitated and decided to ask the others for their opinion.
"Do you think we should go in?" he said.
"Yes, let's go," replied Nana.
"We've come this far," said Zajua. "We might as well continue."